welcome back. I have the best place to show your friends and get your game goodness each and every Monday. My name is Dylan Blight. Joining me on the couch this week, Ashley Holtley.
Hey, Dylan. Excited to be here at the start of everything on the internet being destroyed. I know. More than usual.
Every time you do one of these bits where you say something really outlandish and end it with, I don't know, it sounds like that, remember that Bowser, not the Bowser, the character, but the dude who like dressed up as the real crazy nerdy dude or whatever. I think his name, like the character's name was Bowser. I'm going to find this. Someone out there listening.
You are doing
exactly
a really poor job.
I'm going to find it. At some point, he's going to begin talking in a minute when I pass the baton to someone. He's going to talk. I'm going to find it. I'm going to link it. And you're going to go, oh, that's right. That motherfucker. Anyway, that's what it reminds me of. Also, you're Kieran Munch.
Hi, it's me here to understand exactly what Dylan is talking about.
I'm gonna figure the fuck out.
Oh, that motherfucker.
Shut the fuck up. Screws off. I hate this week on the show, not a lot has been happening. We've been playing some video games, we've been keeping playing them, we're doing the things, playing the Final Fantasy. Haven't finished it yet, everyone's doing the stuff. Talk about that in a little bit. Otherwise, let's kick off with, give it to you, Kieran. Do you want to explain what this Twitch show thing is that we're going to be doing soon?
Yeah, we are bringing, you know what, we do podcasts and shit, we do shows and shit, so we're going to do a show on twitch.tv/explosionnetwork.
Never done that before. Sounds like an early late night to me.
It does sound like an early late night. You know
is
what?
That the
who
time
to thunk
slot?
It? Who to thunk it? God, no, I'm not doing this show 2 times a week, but fucking, I did so many episodes without realizing because I did it twice a week. That's fucked. But no, we're going to be going through. We make a lot of fun of Skin Suit Telltale specifically on this show, specifically me. But I think all three of us have very much grown a love for Telltale, and Telltale do provide one of the greatest aspects of their games is the choices, is the ability to make choices and how they differ from each other. So Dylan, Ashley, and myself, we're going to be getting together Friday night. We haven't set a time. What time would you boys like? 7 or 8 o'clock? You know,
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Okay, Ashley says 8 o'clock.
Daylight savings.
Daylight savings. 8 o'clock. We will be starting with the first episode of The Walking Dead, season 1. It's going to be a format where all three of us are going to be playing. Well, one of us controlling, but all three of us are going to be playing. Anytime we get to one of the main choices in the episode or anything that's slightly spicy in terms of how the episode falls out, we're going to be pausing the game pretty much and debating between the three of us which way we go with this decision. I'm sure with us and our experience with Baldur's Gate 3 already, none of our choices are going to line up with the three of us wanting to do the same thing every time. So I suspect there's going to be some outlandish and crazy decisions made. I think
kill the owlbear.
But I think, you know,
shoot Clementine.
I'm not going to do that. I will defend her with my very being. But no, I'm really excited. I think the show is called Storied Experiences. And we're going to kick it off with Telltale's Walking Dead. Go from there. I think the idea was potentially do Walking Dead and then maybe do Expanse. And we do the first thing that Telltale made and then the first thing that Skin Suit Telltale made. And we can have a bit of reflection, a bit of talk. We'll try and do it, one episode per filming or per episode that we do, with a bit of recap and a bit of talking and discussion after each episode. So please join us 8 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time for Storied Experiences. It'll also go up on YouTube and potentially in some kind of format for a podcast at the end. I don't know. Probably not, though. But yeah, we'll go from there. Hope to see you there.
Did you figure out if we can pause it or not?
Yes, we should. We can, yes.
Like, can you pause the game or do you have to just bring up the menu?
I'll just need to do some R&D to triple check, but I'm fairly certain you can press the pause button at any time. Or if I'm doing it on PC, there might be a way for me to get like a mod or something and mod it so it pauses during the choices. Because a lot of the later games, I don't know about the first one, the later games do have streamer mode where you can let chat decide. We probably won't go down that line because it'll be the three of us. Or whoever comes along for these adventures, we might have more people join. We might have special guests at some point. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where our journey through Walking Dead takes us, specifically at least the first season so far. But I guess my ambition or imagination would be, you know, we do the whole run through and we see where we end up, because I think despite its age, you know, Walking Dead was released 2012. So yeah, even though it's probably dated a little bit, at the same time, it's still one of the greatest stories, and it does falter at times, but I'm excited to see how the three of us go and how storied experiences goes as a whole.
Now, Ash, my question, because yeah. me, you played what, one episode of this?
Yep.
Yep. Do you know anything else? You don't really, do you?
I know characters continue on and characters don't continue on.
Oh, so Ash is just going to be completely.
No, I was going
like,
to say Ash is. That's what I was thinking.
Ash is going to be. Ash is going to be like the thermos test for completely unknown.
Yeah.
Dylan and me, I'm sure we'll remember certain things, but at the same time, we'll try not to do foresight and too much preconceived memory for it. It'll be more. I think the basis of it is that the discussion is us using the information that is there present at the time. We're not going to use, oh, well, if we change this is going to happen and this is going to happen. No. We are in the character's shoes. We are in that moment. All we know is what they have presented before them at the time. We're going to play it down the line like that. I'm very excited because I love these kind of lore discussions and character discussions for these kind of characters in general.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting because I feel like most of the time in these kind of games, it just comes down to your personal ethics in the game as to what choice you make. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of the time is...
You have terrible ethics, so...
Yeah, so we'll see who wins out.
I don't know. He was
Says the person shocked. Who murdered the owl bear.
He was the one shocked that we killed that owl bear, so...
Yeah.
Depends if we get Arcade Ashley on this show or not.
I was going to say Arcade Ashley on the show would be wild.
Well, it just depends on how you guys are playing, and I'll just do the opposite.
Now, before we move on to what you got to talk about, if you'd look in the chat here, this is the guy I'm talking about. This motherfucker. Bowser Vids. You know this guy?
Let's see.
If you skip into like a minute 30 into the video. Have you never seen... Tell me you've seen this guy.
No.
You've really never seen this guy?
No. No, never. This is... Yep, this so really good. Is 8 years ago. That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm reaching into... Sometimes I bring back like memes or popular videos, and people at work will be like, I don't know, I was like 9 when the thing you're referencing came out. I'm like, I forget I'm old.
Old man. Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Okay, never mind. All right, cool. Whatever. I don't know. Ash, you've been playing WWE 2K Cody Finished the Story Edition.
Yeah, so what's happening is The Rock and Roman Reigns have teamed up and they're going to fight Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. But that's unrelated to the video game that I've been playing, WWE 2K24, the latest in the 2K24 series. I think it's the third installment since they... like reinvented themselves, or
they took their break.
Took their break after they shit the bed.
Yeah. Pissed everyone off.
Yeah. So I played a lot of 23 last year. So going to this one, you know, I had solid ideas of the systems and everything. It's good. It's a good step up. There's the two major additions to, well, they've made a few match additions. They've added special referee matches. So you have the option of having somebody play as a referee. There is like a referee meter. So if they're making bad choices or like making biased choices, like they lose their meter. So what you have to do is you have to try and stay in the match as long as you can and until they reduce their meter so low that they get removed as the referee, which I don't think is a thing that happens in real life, but, you know, whatever.
No, I don't think so, no.
No. And then the other ones are ambulance matches and casket matches, which do end up having kind of the similar mechanic of you throw them in the ambulance or the casket, and then just like a submission kind of thing where you know, hit the button as fast as you can to try and get them keep them inside the thing that they're locked in. So yeah, I mean, they're nice touches, you know. The ambulance match is a little bit more interesting because it's like you've got the ambulance there on the ramp to like either use as like a weapon, or you can climb on top of it and throw people off it and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of fun. The casket, you know, is just there on the ringside, you know.
They never, hold on. So you're saying they didn't have casket matches in the last couple entries, or they've never?
No, they haven't had it in the last couple of matches. So they kind of went back to basics with 22, I think it was. Because, yeah, I think 2020 was the one that was terrible from memory. And they skipped 21. So 22, they had like very basic stuff. Last year, their big addition was War Games, which returns again this year.
War Games!
Yeah, I apologize.
You gotta do it properly.
That's true. Yeah. They brought back William Regal. They do have a War Games match in the storyline. That, you know, so we can say the line. So yeah, those are the major additions. The other big, I guess, you know, playable thing they added is now you can throw weapons at other people. So like you pick up a chair and you just throw it, get it across the stage at them, or a trash can. It's pretty fun.
Obviously, is it odd that particular people's faces are blurred out? And
well, yeah, they've got the showcase mode this year, which obviously covers the 39 years coming to 40 years of WrestleMania. And I'm assuming it's a rights issue for most people that they blur them in, like a lot of the footage, because it's in a different medium. It doesn't cover their contracts or whatever. It doesn't cover playing it in a video game. So like they have the talk. The one that threw me was like they've got Ultimate Warrior like talking about his match with Ravishing Ricky Rhodes, and he's talking about, oh, he's had the intercontinental title since last year when he beat a guy at WrestleMania. It's like clearly the Honky Tonk Man on the ground, but he's completely blurred because he's not allowed to be shown in the video game. But yeah, of course, news has gone around that, you know, Vince has been removed several times in the game. Not all the time, but several times. Yeah, the showcase is good. I mean, it's kind of a fun history lesson through the history of WrestleMania and that kind of stuff. I've seen reasonable complaints that, like, there are certain matches that aren't in there. I suspect it's probably because they've been included in similar showcase modes that it wanted to kind of repeat themselves and that kind of thing. Or it's a rights issue again. Certain people have gone to other companies and that kind of thing, so they couldn't get the rights to showcase them in the game and that kind of stuff. Like, I'm sure they would have loved to have...
They're not going to give... The Sting footage, they can get fucked.
I'm sure they would have loved to have Daniel Bryan versus Batista versus Randy Orton in the game, but that kind of stuff. And then the thing that I've been spending a lot of my time on is the My Rise mode, which is a career mode that you play through. You get two different, like last year, they've got two different modes. You've got Unleashed and Undisputed. Undisputed is the male character mode where you play as where Roman Reigns, after, I don't know, 1,500 days, like, relinquishes the title and goes to Hollywood. So there's a tournament to win.
This is the good scenario.
So he relinquishes the title, and then you, a mid-carder who hasn't done much in the WWE, happens to win that tournament to become the new Undisputed Champion, and then follows you on for the next however long as you try and stay as the champion.
That would barely ever realistically happen in the WWE.
No, very unlikely.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. And then you've also got the women's mode Unleashed, where you play an independent wrestler who gets an opportunity at WWE. And this one's a little bit more crazy and wacky, where it's like you go down three different routes for the character. Like, one is like, well, I'm going to be a real badass and, like, you know, beat people up and team up with Rhea Ripley and be really brutal.
It's the Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, it is the Rhea Ripley time. And then there's the other section where you, like, for a short period of time, you, like, become super mystical and into the crazy. Sika? No, you get, like, a Bray Wyatt demon, that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Undertaker kind of stuff. And then there's, like, the A-lister storyline where you become, like, a celebrity, which I'm currently doing, in which I just starred in a movie with Dave Bautista called The Suspicious Sandwich, releasing in cinema soon. So this one takes it a little, like, plays a little bit more with the more, like, crazy and, like, fun mid-card section of the WWE than the super serious, like, top of the card stuff.
Do they explain where these indie wrestlers come from? Because I'm pretty sure
they're all made up promotions. The promotion that she started with her co-founder is called TBD. Because they wanted to start one and they couldn't remember what to come up with the name, and they never got around to doing it, so they just called the company TBD.
What a good name.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Ken?
I was going to say, I'm surprised they never used Evolve, because Evolve was like the only indie that they were kind of close with other than them and like ICW at one point.
But they're dead, so it doesn't...
Yeah, but they could still use a name. Like, at least
they could, you know. I mean, NXT features heavily in these storylines and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's a lot of fun. The GM mode, that's got a bunch of new additions, including, you know, your characters getting XP this season, which allows them to unlock, as they get more levels, they unlock extra abilities and that kind of stuff. So, thus making it more expensive, but worth more, like, they gain popularity quicker and that kind of stuff, and they're better at certain matches and that kind of stuff. They introduce trades and scouting and that kind of stuff. They've added an extra layer of complexity.
Complexity.
That's the word.
There you go.
Are you drunk?
Have you got one of Dylan's?
It is a complex word. So yeah, the GM mode, that's a lot of fun. I haven't really touched the My Universe stuff. That's a whole other can of worms. It's like too much for me. And then the My Factions mode, it's pretty much the My Factions mode from the last year. They've added a few more match modes, and I think they've tried to balance it a little bit more. But for me, it's that. To me, unlike Ultimate Team in like FIFA or 2K NBA, that it doesn't really interest me, because I think the thing is, you can any match you want to play, you can easily do in the play now mode with a combination of wrestlers, whereas you can't play FIFA or NBA as easily creating the teams that you create in the Ultimate Team modes. So to me, it's just like, in the My Factions mode, I'm just playing as John Cena versus The Rock. I could play that in any other mode, so why am I doing it in this mode? You know, other than to earn one of like seven different currencies. It's like, it's pretty crazy. So that's definitely not a can of worms that I want to open up in any way. But yeah, I mean, it's a great package. It's the best WWE 2K game so far. I don't know if I'd say you need to buy it if you bought the last year's edition. I don't think it's like a massive leap forward. But if you love the story content and the showcase modes, and that's what gets you into the games, it's definitely worth picking up, I think. Any questions?
Finish the story.
I mean, they do bring up finished stories.
Have you enjoyed playing as Brock Lesnar?
Let me tell you. I don't know if this is a spoiler. He shows up in the career mode.
Yeah, I know he does.
I'm like, what? I was not expecting him to be in. Like, I know it's probably so far along into the development that they couldn't like swerve in any way. But man, that's a bold choice. Especially when he, from all reports I've seen, I haven't actually looked. He's not playable.
He's only playable in the showcase mode.
Yeah.
Well. Yep.
Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about Final Fantasy. Kieran, how's your journey going?
Look, as I said to you beforehand, it's going as we predicted. I am 22 hours in. I have just started chapter 6. I have completely cleared the first two maps. I'm loving it. I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying my time with it immensely. I think this week I've learned a lot about the combat system that has made the combat system far more enjoyable for me.
Which was?
Pardon?
What was
it was just bits and pieces, just getting used to it and like flicking over to the active mode and actually properly using that. Playing around more with materials and using different materials in different spots. Understanding the synergy system and like the shared moves and everything. I've enjoyed it, like even just like playing more Queen's Blood. Play more of the side content, the side quest lines, and the even just like the I've just gone through like the Fort Knox, is it? I can't remember. It's not Fort Knox. It's something Port something story mode where there's like this like side mission where you play like a top down tower defense game.
Oh, that thing. Yeah, right. Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying to you last week. I'm like, you're like, oh, there's all these mini games and stuff. I'm like, yeah, there's literally like an RTS mode.
Yeah. Like it's a lot of fun. I think when the game gets shit right and is on a roll, it's really, really, really good. I do wish that it had more of a fleshed out storyline or a little bit, or like a push through point, I guess. Like other than chase after Sephiroth, like I think the most story point was the section I've just played through in chapter 5 that I thought was really good for building up information I didn't already have and introducing more of the political stuff going on in the world. But yeah, it does feel like the main characters are a little bit lost at the moment.
Tell me if you agree with this or not. Something I said to Ash on Platt when we talked about this game is, I said, I think the reason for you and other people playing in a similar way, and the reason I don't particularly like open world stuff, is because the story was like written with the sort of they're on a time frame, right? And then you spend fucking 10 hours fucking around, and you even as a person are like, what the fuck am I doing again? Like,
it's not even like it's also like so say the second area you get to, you kind of get to that area, you have like maybe 2 or 3 cutscenes and 2 or 3 like mini events happen there. And then you immediately get to the, hey, you can continue on the story here, but you're not going to be able to fast travel for a little while, and you're not going to be able to do anything for a little while. And for me, that was the signpost of, oh, I should go and clear this area before moving on to the next part. Which I think is very, if there had been more going on in that area, that while doing story content, story mode.
I'm just trying to work out where you are. Is this before, like, you can get on the thing to rise yourself out of the water?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Yes. But this is what I mean, like, narrative dissonance. They're going, hey, there's a thing about to happen up there.
Yeah, but also, now, pause a second.
We need to get up there right now. I'm going to do some shit for about 10 hours.
Yeah, I'm going to go fuck around. That's the thing. I wish if there had just been some natural storytelling happening in that area, and then while I'm doing this main story, I'm also like going off the beaten path and grabbing bits and pieces here and there, it would probably feel less disjointed. But literally, in that area, in that second area, you don't have to go near any of the optional stuff. From where you enter that area through to where it ends,
it's all behind you, I think.
It's all behind you. It is just a straight line through. Like, there's no... Yeah, it's very weird. Like, it is... Like, even, like, the first area, there's a massive chunk of that first area that is just not used for the main story, or not used for anything in what you have to do. It's just there for side content. And it does feel very Ubisoft-y. It does feel very... pylons and go see things. Like, I enjoy going to get all of the the summons, and I enjoy doing all the bits and stuff for Chadley, because I think Chadley's hilarious. What's wrong with Chadley?
I do not Chadley. Like Chadley.
You don't like Chadley? I love
to Chadley. To the point I literally skip any time he talks.
Oh really? I love Chadley. Chadley's hilarious. It's
fuck that robot, motherfucker. Fuck them.
No, kids. I don't know. There is just a lot of stuff. It is strange, and I know because I'm playing the story so slowly. It is very strange how I have not seen Zach turn up again yet. Like, that's I haven't seen.
Yeah, he only shows up between chapter interludes, basically.
Which is like it. That's the thing is, right? I'm up to chapter 6 is what I've literally just started. Maybe I start playing a bit faster now, and I think do all the side stuff.
He shows up like every two or so chapters, I feel.
Well, I'm 6 chapters in, and I haven't seen him since the start of the game.
Okay, weird. I felt like he showed up every 2 or so chapters. Maybe start showing up more in the last
Potentially. But I feel like maybe now where I'm up to, there's more Sephiroth stuff happening. So there feels like more of a a reason to kind of, yeah, feels like there's more reason pushing forward with it. I love how the Sephiroth Black Cloak guys are just like Koopa Troopers in fucking Mario. There's just endless hordes of them. There's just so many. You see like 10 of them perish or die or something, and all of a sudden there's like two more rock up. And you're like, oh, okay, fuck. I know. Cool. Keep going.
One of my favorite parts later in the game where you see someone turn into a normal person, into one of those black hooded dudes in real time, and he just gets a hood out of nowhere. I don't know how to explain it. Like, he's like, oh, I'm sick now. Like, I just got a hood.
Also, I love her in the original. This game is making me really dislike Yuffie at the start. Like, real bad. Like, yeah. The
childish stuff.
Not even the childish, but just how fucking much of, like, just how. Like, it's so weird, and maybe this is because I didn't play through the DLC and I only listened to the DLC, listened to the storyline of the DLC on a YouTube video. Is like, from that, I got that Yuffie was a bit more focused and a little bit more serious with everything going on it for her. And then, like, in this, she is just, there's no thought process to some of the shit she does.
She's in line for how she's written in the original game.
Like, yeah, no, I know she is, but it's like, I feel like there's, because of how much more there is happening around her, it's just making her seem even more annoying than she previously was in the original. Also, I laughed. Shinra as a company is fucking hilarious because they paid out like $100 million bounty for like nothing. They paid it out for somebody being like, hey, yeah, Avalanche is here, by the way. And they're like, oh, don't, you know, nothing happens. Avalanche just gets to carry on. Like, the party just gets carry on. And then that NPC is like, oh, sorry, by the way, I just needed the bounty. Here, take this to go do this side quest with this part of the bounty. And here's some of
it. They got the money.
And so I'm like, fucking, I don't know. Okay, Shinra, sure.
I'll tell you what. I actually think, I haven't finished it, but some of the boss fights towards the end of the game, which I'm in the last end of the game. It's fucking hard. I tell you what, on normal difficulty, I've been like finding some of them hard.
Aerith is busted. Aerith as a character is busted. Like, she is just so, like, just some of her abilities she gets that like just make her really strong. It might just be the way I'm playing her in the build, but she gets like, you place down like the Radiant Ward and she's like staggering the fuck out of everybody she normal attacks. She builds up everything really quickly. You can put down another ward on top of that ward that casts all of her attack spells twice. It's like I'm playing a Black Mage in Final Fantasy 14. Maybe that's also it, is because I understand playing Black Mage in that game. So it's, you just kind of go hard and everything just gets rolled by her.
True. I have she's in my, if I get choice, in the times I get choice.
She is in every one of my parties.
Yeah. So.
It is just Aerith plus one. And generally, like, my standard is Aerith and Barret.
Yeah. Barret's actually pretty good in this, and I felt like.
Barret's great. He uses bonus round, and he gets a bunch of stagger. He gets a bunch of stagger, and you're like, sick. You are both great at crowd control, and you have a shit ton of health. Awesome. Thank you.
I'm not spoiling anything, but every boss fight I've complained about, that I've struggled with, they've all been when they've decided, hey, these boss fights are with one character by themselves. And I'm like, no, this game is not designed this way.
I actually loved the boss fight I just did with just Cloud by himself. Actually, no, that just reminds me. The section I've just played through with Cloud by himself, I thought was super fucked up, and I need to talk to you about it at some point because it's very spoilery. But Cloud makes some people do something that is very ethically not okay. And then they play it off at the end of that section like it's a big happy moment. And it's like, what the fuck is going on here?
All right. Helldivers.
Helldivers, what a fucking game. You know what? I was giving Helldivers some shit for, you know,
PlayStation. Because it's on PlayStation.
Yeah. and it's PlayStation releasing on PC. That's how you do a live service game. Like
release it on PlayStation and PC.
No, well, sure, but like their structure is so fucking good. They are their battle passes. They don't run out. You can just unlock them as you go. And even when the next one comes out, the original ones are still there for you to buy from as you're doing it. They've just done a massive event where they dropped in lore of the thing that to unlock mechs for the entire game, a particular planet needed to be liberated. So every player started liberating that planet and just doing all the missions on that planet to liberate it.
I like how
they
did it on Twitter too, where they just put out calls for help. They're like, soldiers, like...
Yeah. Like, they put it out there, and then the moment that planet was liberated, the patch dropped and mechs were released. And you can go into the game right now and start and buying your mechs and using mechs in the game. Like, it's that kind of stuff that's really fucking good. You can... I had a friend go, yeah, they've said that, but there's no way they really, like, drop it. They'll just wait until their planned update happens when they planned for it to come out. And it's like... No, like they just fucking dropped it. Like as soon as that planet was liberated, they dropped the patch and unlocked it for everybody.
Someone was sitting there just
ready for it. Like they'd have their own projections of how quickly they thought it would have happened, but
what's their DM name? Phil? Something like that? I can't remember.
Hmm. I can't remember, but it's really impressive how well they're building that game in terms of content over a long period of time. If you compare Helldivers to Suicide Squad, it's night and fucking day. You know, like Suicide, it's crazy. Like you look at it and you compare about Warner Brothers just announced that, or in a, I think it was like in a business call, Warner Brothers has said they're not going to do single player games anymore. They're just going to focus on live service games because that's what's most profitable. And that's fucking insane because you go, okay, so in the last 12 months, Warner Brothers have had Hogwarts Legacy, which, yes, has problematic by itself, but also has Suicide Squad. I know which one of them has made more money. There is no fucking way Suicide Squad has made more money than Hogwarts Legacy did. And yet, they're looking at it like, no, we're just going to can off single-player games and just focus on this live service stuff. I think... There is.
I think it's like gambling. Like if you get a hit, you're good. But
yeah,
you know.
I'll also say if you go into this with the intention of making live service games, that will be more effective than what seems to be. Let's take Rocksteady that is known for making single player games. Let them make what is mostly a single player game, and then just force feed live service elements into it. So, Jenny. That would be my only piece of optimism about that story.
I just, I'm excited. Helldivers is exciting. Like, I think as a property, it's really exciting what's being done there from not the biggest of teams and not the biggest of IPs. Mm-hmm. If you compare Helldivers 2 to what Helldivers 1 was, it's very different. It's night and day. Like, it is something really impressive that's being built this year. And I look forward to awards at the end of the year because I think Helldivers should very much be in the mix for several awards across the board.
Do you there's still this continuing thing with the like meta, like people getting shitty with players and whatever else.
Well, I mean, there was that story this week that after the patch, you know, some devs were making some trolley comments in the
A bit of a yikes.
The Reddit. I mean, yes. They're like, jokes about, maybe the issue with the players is skill error, not actually
balancing. I would say I don't.
And then watching your cry amuses me so much. I mean, that's just good fun trolling. You know? But then
that's good old-fashioned trolling.
You know, that's old school, mean no harm, don't need to throw a death threat in there, trolling, you know? That we should appreciate in comparison to what other people call trolling nowadays.
What's that?
The death threats and the other kind of threats, you know.
It's just a joke. I sent your mom a bomb in the letterbox. It's just a joke.
It's just a joke. I just called the police on your house and they murdered your wife and dog, but it was just a joke.
It's just a joke, I swear. Swatting's just fun. Anyway. Yeah, no, Helldivers is probably the biggest, I think the biggest success story of the year so far. Like, the definitely, like, I'm going to stand by this. I do not think that them or Sony ever knew or expected the success this game has had. So, and it's actually held. I thought people would drop off, like, probably in, like, a week or so, but nope.
Yeah, still got a strong player base. I love seeing all the content this week around the hug exploit.
It's a good strat.
If you're hugging somebody, you don't take any damage. So people have been dropping bombs and stratagems on themselves and then hug their teammate and they survive.
So, like, does the hug animation only last for a certain amount of time? You just go, like...
Yeah, you hug and then it breaks. Yeah.
Yeah, so you need to time it and everything, but...
3, 2, 1, hug!
Yeah.
Pretty funny. I will say, like, there is, like, some of the emotes and the joined emotes in that game are fucking, like, you can properly play rock, paper, scissors with each other. Like, there is, like, the emote actually lets you choose if you're picking rock, paper, or scissors. And it's, like, best 2 out of 3. It's really fun. Yeah. It's good shit.
Crazy. Before we wrap up, the only other thing I've been playing that I just remembered that I'll give a quick thing is, I started playing that Little Guardsman game that, came out at the start. I think it was the start of the year. Hold on, let me see quickly. Oh, Steam, load your fuck. Anyway, Little Guardsman. If it wants to work, it doesn't want to work. Cool, whatever. It's a game, and it's like a narrative. It's like what's that? Papers, Please, right? So it's Papers, Please, but you play as like the daughter of this guard. Yeah, came out January. After Steam finally decided to play, January 24th. You play as the daughter of a guardsman, and you, like, he asks you to look after he's doing shift one day, and then the story revolves from there because you do his job a lot better. But you'll have, like, trolls, like, sort of walk up, and then you can, like, you get, like, I think 3 actions every time, so you can, like, question them, and you got to sort of, and then you've got some tools, and you got to deduce if you're going to let them into the city or deny them. And then after the first couple levels, you get the option to also put them into prison. And then after you do your shift at the guard station, you can then go, like, visit a couple places around town and, like, interact with characters that you've let into the city. So then the story sort of changes around that. Like, if you let someone in who does something bad, or you let someone in that you, like, actually does something good, like, fixes out the part of the city, and then you sort of go home and talk to a bunch of... It's just like a narrative, like, puzzle game, I guess, with the puzzle element being... deducing if you should let people in or not. It's pretty cool. I like the art style. It's very vibrant and cool music. It's been a good Rogue deck game for playing on that. So I'm going to continue playing that. I've just been doing, like, one level a night, I think, because each level's taken like 20 minutes, I think, so far. So I forgot. It showed up in some showcase, and I can't remember which one it was. So, at some stage last year, I remember seeing a trailer for it, so... All right. That's it for this
week. What a week.
There wasn't much.
Wait, we're not going to address, like, 2 of the biggest stories of the week? Even partially? Sweet Baby Inc. have not done anything wrong. You're all crazy conspiracy theorists, and you need to go touch grass.
Oh, my God.
Done.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I mean, what he said.
I don't know how you can ruin these games if what the fundamental problem with the games that they've say they ruined was gameplay.
Yeah.
And you're consulting on story elements.
My favorite part so far has been when they went after Kyle, the co-director of Alan Wake, because they did some work on Alan Wake 2. And, like, this is the reason
she's black.
They're like, this is the reason she's black. And then he, like, responds, he's like, no. And they're like, you're a fucking liar. You would lie. Good game, but you ruined video games.
Just, yeah, crazy, dumb. Up there with the people who believe there's pedophile rings run by celebrities underground, lizard people. We didn't go to the moon. that kind of stuff.
Just quickly, since you brought it up, my 2 cents on this. is we can sort of make jokes about it and whatever else, but there are definitely people similar whenever these things happen. And it's mostly either women or minorities who are like copying the biggest slack of this, of course. It is, and the reason for people who are like, why are they calling it Gamergate 2.0? Because that's been thrown around, Gamergate 2.0, 2.0. Yep. And it's because for people who weren't around then, it's the same problem. Well, because the thing with Gamergate was that like someone like Anita Sarkeesian, who was similar to them, talking to developers and stuff to offer advice on their games, they were saying like people like her were, you know, ruining games, and then it spun out from there into a million other things. So this is this has a very similar thin veiled real reason in quotation marks, but really it's just sexism and racism and whatever else. Anyway, so that's what's been happening on the internet this week. I mean, yeah, some people I follow are like, obviously they've tweeted stuff out, and I've just the replies they've got. Some of these people is
just crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy anime logo people.
Yeah. And then the people like the Kotaku got into their like Discord, and just the screenshots they got from that of like, we should go off this person, and like it's like, get a life. Holy fuck. Like
just play a different game.
Just
there's like millions of games out there that you could be playing. You know, just play something else.
It's crazy to me too that they'll
go
say
play some Leisure Suit Larry.
These motherfuckers are the reason they ruined Tifa's boobs, and I'm like, Tifa's boobs are still big. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, I know that's such a weird quote to have out of Mike, but I'm like, the fact that they reckon that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is wild.
They're
to
just
me.
Way more accurate now, so
it's
looks less
wild that they're like they ruined. Like, they're like, this is how video games got ruined. I'm like,
it was an optical illusion back in the day.
What the fuck are you talking about? Unless you want like triangle boobs back on Lara Croft, like shut the fuck up. Jesus Christ. Anyway, you've never seen a real woman naked as long. You've literally never been outside, probably. Fucking, I bet they smell like fucking death. And like Musk, just fucking look. You've got
not Elon Musk,
like they might though, because I assume he smells like absolute ass crack as well. So.
Oh my god!
Anyway, thank you for joining us on this week's episode.
Also, like
oh my god, again! Holy shit!
I just
what
wanted to say,
you talk about in the show notes, Ashley. In the show notes.
I'm just sad that Rooster Teeth's running down. You know, obviously, I don't think we would be here doing what we're doing without Rooster Teeth. Like literally.
That's true.
That's actually very true. Yep.
And I feel like a lot of games media and like a lot of content creators would not be here without Rooster Teeth, like paving the way.
That's true.
So very sad day. Kind of an expected event.
Yeah. I wasn't too shocked to be completely.
No, yeah. It wasn't shocking, but yeah.
Rip Bozo.
Indeed.
I'm just going to assume that's a reference to something.
Oh my god, you just don't.
Fucking hell.
You guys don't spend enough time on Twitch.
Save Ruby. Cringe. That's all I'm going to say. Save Ruby.
Final
you
season.
Still have the shit out of that. Are you still up to date on Ruby, or did you
fall? I'm behind currently, but still save Ruby.
Surely somebody picks that up.
Like, I got you a signed fucking thing from Lindsay.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. I was going to say. Fuck me. Yeah. There we go.
Ruby's a good show here. One of the best things I've done. So, of them putting on RTX 2017, that was probably the best thing they ever did, right?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Saved Hideo Kojima's career.
Yeah.
It's where the ropes and the sticks was born, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
Created a genre right there and then.
Thank you for joining us this week's episode of Arcade Couch. You can follow us on Twitter by heading to explosionnetwork.com/Twitter. You can come talk to us on Discord, explosionnetwork.com/Discord. And if you want to support the show, you can, or the website itself, explosionnetwork.com/support. These two are just giggling. The little gigglers over here. It's so funny. Let's know in the comments, coach, concerns you've had about this episode, and join us, of course, next week. But also join us this Friday on twitch.tv/explosionnetwork for the first episode of Storied Experiences. What a name! What a great name!
What a great name! You know what? It's like it's years in the making.
Though,
crazy! All right, bye.